بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All you who believe, fear Allah as it should be feared, and do not die except that you are Muslims. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, fear your God, your Lord, who created you from a single soul, and from that soul you created its mate, and from them came many, many women. So fear Allah, from whom you demand your mutual rights, and respect the wombs that bore you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. All you who believe, fear Allah and say a word that is directed to the truth, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may rectify your actions and forgive you your sins. For indeed, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has indeed attained a great success. Amma ba'd, فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله. The best speech is the speech of Allah. وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وشر الأمور محدثاتها. And the worst of the affairs are the newly invented matters in the religion. فإن كل محدثة بدعة. For every newly invented matter in the religion is an innovation. وكل بدعة ضلالة. And every innovation is a misguidance. وكل ضلالة في النار. And every misguidance leads to the fire. Alhamdulillah, we continue with that which benefits, inshallah, reminding ourselves of the stories of the prophets and messengers that came to us. And we have taken this, inshallah, course, inshallah, which we'll do in the next couple of months, from Qasas al-Anbiya, na'am, from Shaykh Abdurrahman Ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, the teacher of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, this great scholar, the professor of the Quran, who did tafsir of the whole Quran, and he compiled it after 20 years of going through the different tafsir, of going through the books of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, going through the books of A'imma, the scholars have preceded, and he compiled his tafsir after 20 years. And his tafsir actually was in durus that he used to give, and then it was compiled from his durus, showing you that in reality his lectures, his durus were full of ilm, that they compiled his tafsir from his lessons, that they gathered it from his lessons. Shows you that in his lessons, whether it was tafsir that he was teaching, or hadith, or usul al-fiqh, qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, principles of fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, all of that, his lesson, you can see, was full of knowledge. And you can see that from his books. And he has excellent books. Some of the books he has done in lines of poetry. For example, Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya. It's beautiful lines of poetry about the principles of fiqh. Wallahi, one of the best that you will read in Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya, in principles of fiqh. And also he has his beautiful short poem about the path to the hereafter, which we have translated, and also the Qawa'id is translated with the benefits of Shaykh Ubaid. So these are books that the ulama have actually striven to revive the correct aqidah as well as the correct methodology. And this scholar, he was born in 1307, Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di rahimullah. He was born in 1307, and he memorized the Quran at the age of 11, and he studied under the scholars of Unayza, the judges and the scholars of Unayza, and he gathered much benefit. So Hafidh al-Quran, not only the Quran but also Talab al-Ilm, started his learning at a young age from the ulama. And this shows us how the youth should be, that they should start at a young age learning the Qur'an and learning the different tools in order to benefit in how to understand the Qur'an. And rahimahullah, he continued to teach in that great grand masjid in Unayza, which we visited when we visited Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and his Jami' Masjid, which Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah took over in terms of teaching and in terms of delivering the sermons thereafter, when Shaykh al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah died in the year 1376. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him, for indeed he has put forward much khair for the ummah. And one of the things that he has done, which we're going through, is his famous Qasas al-Anbiya, where he speaks about the prophets from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we go straight into the book because of the time, and we try to do a prophet a lesson. Every lesson we do will cover the details of a prophet. So it's not just a story about the prophet, but also the lessons learned in that story. So he begins by saying, لم يزل الله أولا ليس قبله شيء ولم يزل فعالا لما يريد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to be the first and no one before him. And that is taken from Surah Al-Hadid. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. He's the first and the last and the highest and the nearest. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this verse in Surah Al-Hadid. He explained it when he said, هو الأول ليس قبله شيء. Allah is the first, there is no one before him. Allah is the last, there is no one after him. Allah is the highest, there is no one above him. And Allah is the nearest to you than anyone else by his knowledge. And no one is nearer to you in terms of knowledge than him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those four names, الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. If you go to Muhsin Khan's and Hilali's translation of the Qur'an, they translated it perfectly according to the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. Whereas many translators of the Qur'an, they do not translate it correctly, because they don't refer back to the hadith. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us that Rasulullah ﷺ explained the Qur'an, إِنَّا نَحْنَ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that he's protecting it. But in the other verse, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have revealed this remembrance, this Qur'an, that you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may explain to the people what has been revealed to them. So they explained these names, Al-Awwalu wal-Akhiru. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained these names, Al-Awwalu wal-Akhiru wal-Zahiru wal-Batin. The first two are easily translated, the first and the last. But the next two, al-zahir, the Rasul said, هو الظاهر ليس فوقه شيء. He is the zahir, there is no one above him. That means zahir means the highest. That is a perfect translation for zahir. That he is the highest, no one above him. وهو الباطن, he said, ليس دونه شيء. There is no one closer to him than anyone else. So the perfect translation, or the correct translation in that regard, is the nearest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to you by his knowledge. When it was said to Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, died 161 Hijriya, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ, when it was quoted to him this verse, Allah is with you wherever you are. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, the Imam, the great scholar of the second century, he said, بِعِلْمِهِ, by his knowledge. That he's closer to you by his knowledge. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above in a way which befits his majesty. And we have to believe that. And we have to affirm that. There is consensus amongst the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all of creation, not inside creation, not part of creation, but he is above creation. Every created being is below him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is the highest. And so here, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he goes straight into mentioning some of the beautiful names of Allah. Allah continues to be the first, no one before him. وَلَمْ يَزَلْ فَعَالًا لِمَا يُرِيدْ. He continues to be فَعَالًا لِمَا يُرِيدْ. He does what he wills. He does what he wills. And that is based upon the verse, فَعَالًا لِمَا يُرِيدْ. And also, the other verse, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. He's not to be asked by what he, Allah, does, but you are to be questioned. But you are to be questioned.
ولا خلا وقت من الأوقات من أفعال وأقوال تصدر من مشيئته وإرادته بحسب ما تقتضي حكمة الله. There isn't any, he says, time from any of the time periods where actions occur or statements are said except by the will of Allah. Allahu Akbar. So everything that occurs, even your blinking of your eye, your breathing, your walking, your touching, everything that occurs from the actions or speech, except by the will of Allah. And that comes back to the verse, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ, that whatever you will comes under the will of Allah. And Shaykh Rabi'a will explain it by saying that this is from his rububiyyah, from his lordship. Nothing escapes the lordship of Allah. Nothing escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he wills an action to occur, it occurs. When he wills a statement to be said, it is said, based upon his great wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives people a chance and a choice. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, and we have guided them to the two paths. They choose which path they want to choose. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ, a path leading to paradise, a party leading to paradise, and a party leading to the hellfire, or going towards the hellfire. So people choose. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wills whatever occurs to occur, based upon His مَا تَقْتَدِي حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ, the wisdom of Allah, الَّذِي هُوَ حَكِيمٌ, because He is the all-wise, Hakim. فِي كُلِّ مَا قَدَّرَهُ وَقَضَاهُ, in everything that He has pre-decreed, in everything that He has predestined and pre-decreed. كَمَا هُوَ حَكِيمٌ فِي كُلِّ مَا شَرَعَهُ لِعِبَادِهِ, just as also He is all-wise in that which He has legislated for His servants, for His worshippers. So everything that Allah has legislated in Salah, Siyam, Hajj, the five pillars, Zakah, everything is based upon His great wisdom. Everything. We may know that wisdom, or we may not come to know that wisdom. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, it may be we know, or we get to know what that wisdom is. Yani the benefits of Salah, for example, of its legislation, praying five times a day. We know some of the reasons, the benefits, and some of the wisdom, if you like, behind it. That it's a reminder, and Allah explains that to us in the Quran. It's a reminder. It reminds us of the Akhirah. It reminds us of the standing between us and Allah. It also keeps us away from lewd and shameful acts. Salah. Inna salat tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. So there's lots of benefit. Allah already told us some of the wisdom in some of the acts that is legislated. But some acts He hasn't told us the wisdom behind it. But we believe that there is a great wisdom behind it, in that which He has legislated and that which He has permitted from the qadr al-kawni. So the two types of qadr. Qadr al-shar'i and qadr al-kawni. Qadr al-shar'i, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated, all of it is based upon His great wisdom. And qadr al-kawni, all those things that Allah allows to occur, whether it's an earthquake or a tsunami or whatever it is, drought, based upon His great wisdom. And the Prophet ﷺ already explained to us sometime in that narration where he said about it could be that that drought occurs because people withhold zakah. So you may think, withholding zakah, how is that going to affect people in Africa who are dying of hunger and thirst? And subhanAllah, but the Messenger ﷺ told us about that wisdom. When people withhold zakah, then it could be a reason for drought. And if it wasn't for the animals, then it wouldn't rain, because people withhold paying the zakah. Now, فَلَمَّا اقْتَدَتَ الْحِكْمَةُ الشَّامِلَةُ وَالْعِلْمُ الْمُحِيطُ, so when the great wisdom, which is comprehensive, and knowledge which is vast from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His mercy which covers and envelopes over His creation, Allah created Adam, Abi al-Bashar, the father of all of mankind. الذين فضلهم الله على كثير من خلق تفضيله, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored over many of that of those who he has created. And he had mentioned that to the angels when he said, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I'm going to place upon the earth a khalifa, one to take over, يعني to roam, to take over, to tread the land, to tread the earth, one to take over the creation that has preceded. And this shows us that there was a creation before us preceded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us upon this earth. Thereafter, يَخْلُفُ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ الَّتِي يَعْلَمُهَا لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and only Allah knows the full details of the creation that preceded. And then in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 30, قَالُوا, the angels replied, أَتَجْعَلُوا فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ, are you going to place upon this earth one who will commit corruption and one who will cause bloodshed? This is from them, actually, not out of arrogance. This is from the angels, actually, in honoring Allah to know the wisdom behind why He created Adam, alayhi salam, or why He's going to create Adam. So this is, as Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah says here, this is actually from his wisdom. Not like Iblis. Iblis, when he refused to bow down, that was because of arrogance. Not because he was questioning the wisdom of Allah. But rather, the angels just wanted to know the wisdom behind creating Adam and Hawa. No. Then he says here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to the angels, and he says to them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know that which you don't know. I know that which you don't know. Because his knowledge is vast. And he knows the first, he's the first and the last. So he knows all of time. Ibn al-Qayyim explained it beautifully. And he said, the first and the last means he knows all of time. And he knows nothing in time is hidden from him. And he's the highest and the nearest means he knows all of space. Nothing in space is hidden from him. So time and space are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of time and all of space. That's why Allah says, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ, where can you go? Where are you going to go? Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to a nation, and thereafter when his nation rebuked him and they harmed him, he fled. He didn't want to continue the message out of anger of how they treated him and so on. So as he fled, where did he flee to? He fled to Allah. He wasn't able to flee away from Allah. He fled. But he made tawbah in the belly of the fish, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him from the righteous. وَجَعَلُهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, made him from the righteous. But look at the situation. He wasn't able to flee. No one is able to flee, Ya Abdullah. No one is able to hide. Nobody is able to hide the smallest minute action or statement that we do and say. وَمَا يَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الْمَخْلُوقِ مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ وَالْمَنَافِعِ الَّتِي لَا تُعَدْ وَلَا تُعْصَىٰ, anything that is beneficial to the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it. And you cannot even enumerate it. There are so many benefits and blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. فَعَرَّفَهُمْ تَعَالَى بِنَفْسِهِ بِكَمَالِ عِلْمِ, so Allah showed to the angels that His knowledge is perfect. His knowledge is perfect and vast. وَأَنَّهُ يَجِبُ الْاِعْتِرَافُ لِلَّهِ بِسِعَةِ الْعِلْمِ, and it is an obligation to recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has vast knowledge and has vast wisdom, and His wisdom is great. أَلَتِي مِنْ جُمْلَتِهِ أَنَّهُ لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْءٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not create anything عَبَثًا, without reason, without cause, in play, in jest. Allah created us not in jest, without reason, without cause. Does anyone remember the ayah in Surah Al-Qiyamah? Surah Al-Qiyamah. أَحَسِبَ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا, no, that's in Surah Al-Ankabut. In Surah Al-Qiyamah, which is in line with this statement, that Allah did not create us in vain. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Does man think he will be left without cause? Beautiful verse. It's so true. Does man think he's going to be left alone without being tested, without being tried and tested? Each and every one of us is going to be tried and tested. Allah may test you with wealth. Allah may test you with children, not having children. Allah may test you with disease in the family. Allah may test you with shelter, not having security, not having losing a job, for example, losing sustenance, losing a business. Allah will test us, and Allah knows what that test is going to be, and whether we're going to pass the test. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to burden us more than we can bear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us past the test that He sends. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُتْرُكَ أَنْ يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they will be left alone and say that we believe and they will not be tested? No. People, each and every one of us will be tested. So Allah does not create anything without wisdom. ثُمَّ بَيَّنَ لَهُمْ عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّفْصِيلِ. Then Allah explained to the angels with detail. And He said that He created Adam with His own hands. Why do you not bow down? He said to Iblis, why do you not bow down to the one that I created with my own hands? تَشْرِيفًا لَهُ. As an honor for Adam, He created him with His own hands. عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. Above each and every creation. قَبَضَ قَبْضَةً مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْأَرْضِ. In the authentic narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered soil, turab, from different parts of the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mixed water with it to make it into clay and to make it into hardened clay that is like it is burnt, yani like it is heated. And then he became hollow, a hollow clay ready for that ruh to be placed into it. فَكَانَ تُرَابًا أَوَّلًا ثُمَّ أَلْقَى عَلَيْهِ الْمَاءِ فَصَارَ طِينًا ثُمَّ لَمَّا طَالَتْ مُدَّةُ بَقَاءِ الْمَاءِ عَلَى الطِّينِ تَغَيَّرَ ذَلِكَ الطِّينِ فَصَارَ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونًا طِينًا أَسْوَدْ ثُمَّ أَيَّسَهُ بَعْدَمَا صَوَّرَهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter he fashioned him in the best of forms. In the best of forms, prepared him and he fashioned him. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the creation of Adam alayhi salatu salam by commanding ruh to be blown into him. So his body turned from clay, from solid that didn't move, to bones and meat, yani flesh and veins and soul. This is haqiqat al-insan. This is the reality of man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for him to have knowledge and to be prepared for life. ثُمَّ أَتَمَّ عَلَيْهِ النِّعْمَةِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected his blessing upon man. فَعَلَّمَهُ الْأَسْمَاءَ الْأَشْيَاءَ كُلَّهَا. And he taught him all of the names that he is required to know that will aid him. وَالْعِلْمُ التَّامِ يَسْتَدْعِي الْكَمَالَ التَّامِ. And perfect knowledge necessitates perfection in creation. And no doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created him in أحسن التقويم, in the best of forms. وَكَمَالُ الْأَخْلَاقِ, and the best of manners and character. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, to show the angels that they do not know what He knows. He said to them, أَنْبِئُونِ بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Tell me of the names that I have taught Adam, if you are truthful. Tell me of those names. And they didn't know the answer. They said, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. Glory be to you, we do not know except that which you have taught us. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. you are indeed the most knowledgeable, the most wise. So Allah replied to them, Ya Adam, أنبئهم بأسمائهم. فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم, he said, Didn't I tell you that I know what you do not know? So when Adam alayhi salam replied with the names, then Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, after he mentioned the names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, didn't I tell you that which you do not know? So the angels bore witness to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation and his knowledge. And they knew with detail and by witnessing the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom in creating Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And so they honored him. They honored Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show also the honor, further honor for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said to the angels, Usjudu li Adam. Bow down to Adam as honor for Adam and respect for Adam. Not as worship for Adam, not to worship Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, but rather to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored Adam. And this is out of obedience to Allah, and out of love for Allah, and out of having humility towards Allah. So all of the angels bowed down. فَسَجَدُوا. And Iblis, who was from the jinn, كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ, who was amongst them, he's also been commanded to bow down to Adam with the angels. كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ, created from fire, smokeless fire. Whereas the angels were created from light. But Iblis had hidden with himself al-kufr billah. Mubattinan lil-kufr billah. Disbelief in Allah. Wal-hasad, and jealousy for this man whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored and has raised and has given that respect amongst his creation. So the arrogance and pride and haughtiness and disbelief and jealousy of Iblis was a reason for him not to bow down to Adam. And that's why we must reflect here. We shouldn't be jealous of others. We shouldn't look down upon others. We shouldn't belittle others. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. It is sufficient sin for a person that he belittles his Muslim brother. Belittling him. And looking down upon others. Allah says, وَخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your wings to the believers. Allah described, as Shaykh al-Uthaymin rahimahullah said, the arrogant person like the bird flying, hovering above everybody's head. Looking down at others. Come down to earth, akhi. What are you arrogant for? The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah said, Hadith Qudsi, مَنْ نَازَعَنِي فِي كِبْرِيَاءِ قَسَمْتُهُ. Whoever competes with my pride, I break him. You can't compete with the pride of Allah. Pride is my cloak, Allah says. الْكِبْرِيَاءُ رِدَاءِ. And whoever competes with my pride, I break him. I destroy him. And how many times you've seen that? Nations were destroyed. Where are the Romans? The Greeks, the so-called empires. What happened to them? Destroyed because of their sins. Surah Nuh, where Allah subhanahu describes the people of Nuh when they were arrogant, making fun of the Muslims, of Nuh alayhi salam and his followers, when they made fun of him. Allah says he drowned them because of their sins. Because of their disobedience, their sins. So sins are destructive. Looking down upon others is destructive. Allah won't raise you, Ya Abdullah. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعُ اللَّهِ. That's the one Allah will raise. You humble yourself to Allah, Allah will raise you. But you're arrogant, proud, haughty. Allah won't raise you. Rather, you'll be debased. You will be debased. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the all proud. The one which deserves that. That pride that is perfect for Allah, not the pride that you see in creation. which is deficient. So Iblis turning away and said, "Ana khayrun minhu, I am better than him. Khalaqtani min nari wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire, smokeless fire, and you created him from clay." And here, Iblis actually, even in this argument, he's mistaken. Because as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, that actually smokeless fire has a lot of, it's not calm, it's not stable. It's all over the place. And you see fire kindled. You see it moving from all directions. But if you see clay or soil, it is calm. It is stable. It is tranquil. So even as a madda, as a material, as a thing, then clay is better than fire in that sense. So even if you use your sane intellect, Iblis was wrong. He said, "I'm better than him." And this is out of his arrogance and pride and haughtiness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to him, "Ya Iblisu, ma man'aka an tasjuda lima khalaqtu bi yaday. Astakbarta am kunta min al-'alin?" Have you become arrogant and from those who are towering over others? فَكَانَ هَذَا الْكُفْرُ الْإِسْتِكْبَارُ. So this disbelief from Iblis and haughtiness and rejection from accepting that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him with, this was a reason for him to be repelled and cursed and to be removed from the mercy of Allah. And which brings us also to many narrations where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses and He removes from His mercy. We must be careful, because removing from the mercy, if Allah removes you from His mercy, who is going to aid you? Who's going to help you? We need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need His rahmah, we need His kindness, His lutf, His gentleness, and His protection and His guidance. We need all of that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He removes that from us, then we are left alone. Just like in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah talks about the people when they're left alone in darkness, they scatter around, not knowing which direction to take. So Allah replied to him, "Fahbit minha, fama yakunu laka an tatakabbara fiha, fakhruj innaka min as-saghirin." So come down from this place where you are, and it is not befitting for you that you become arrogant in it. So come out of this place, leave this place. You are from the lowly ones, the saghirin, despicable, humiliated one. You will be humiliated and you will be from the saghirin. This is Iblis. فَلَمْ يَخْدَعَ الْخَبِيثِ لِرَبِّهِ. This evil Iblis did not humble himself to his Lord, nor did he repent. Because it's possible someone makes a mistake, but they repent. But he didn't want to repent. He continued upon his arrogance and his enmity to Adam and his going against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following Adam and his children, his progeny. And he prepared himself for this battle with Adam and his progeny. He prepared himself to deviate you and me, to lead us astray with his army and his party. He said, "Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun." Our Lord, give me respite to follow Adam and his progeny until the day they are resurrected. And here Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di says something beautiful. He says, look how Iblis has prepared himself. In this statement that Allah mentions, shows us that Iblis now is preparing himself. And he is preparing for that battle. So each and every one of us has a qareen. And each and every one of us, he wants to make us of the ashab al-sa'ir, لِتَكُونَ مِنْ ashab al-sa'ir. Each and every one of us, he will put us to lead astray step by step. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطَوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. So don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. He's a clear enemy. So he's prepared himself for this battle with a serious preparation. And the hikmah of Allah the wisdom of Allah, no doubt, overcomes. And so therefore, he gave him that respite. And those who follow him, then are of him. And those that refuse to follow him, in terms of his arrogance and his misguidance in belief and methodology and manners and etiquette, then they are the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect and save. إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْدَرِينَ Allah says, you will be from those who will be given respite, a time, an appointed time that will come. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ to a time that will come where you return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, then Iblis, Allah mentions that Iblis said, openly, making apparent his disobedience, his enmity to Adam and his progeny. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Just like you have made me fall into this. He's making now Adam being the reason. He said, I will follow you. I will follow you on your Sirat al-Mustaqim. I will be there for you. To lead you away from that Sirat al-Mustaqim. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ Then I will come to them. From in front of them. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ And from behind them. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ And on their right. وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ And on their left. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ And you will not find most of them being grateful. Ya Abdullah, the battle is serious. From in front of us, behind us, to the right of us, to the left of us. No wonder there are problems in society. When people don't reject a shaitan. No wonder the people fall astray. No wonder the people are heading, many of them, for the fire. No wonder most of the inhabitants of the hellfire women for their ungratefulness to their husbands. No wonder most of the people who will enter the fire, are the people of shirk, who will never come out of the fire. Because that's the first thing that shaitan will call you to. And then the innovations, the bid'ah, and then the rest of the disobedience. The first thing is shirk, because he wants you there forever. He's not wanting to lead you astray. And there are many stories that the scholars mention about this. How Iblis is not satisfied that you are just doing a small sin. He will want the next sin, then the next sin, then bid'ah. And then you become pleased of bid'ah. Then you become arrogant. Even when you are doing good deeds, he's there for you. He's there for who? For you to go astray while you're doing the good deed. That you're not sincere in that deed. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in Wa'abul al-Sayyib, it may be an act of obedience is a reason for you to enter the hellfire. And an act of disobedience may be a reason for you to enter Jannah. Because by you doing an act of obedience, and you're feeling really happy about it, proud, and you're feeling that you've made it, the feeling of that I've succeeded, that feeling in the heart, that actions of the heart that you have, is a reason for that action to be null and void. For that action to be nullified. And your act of disobedience may be a reason for you to make tawbah and cry to Allah while you are alone and humble yourself to Allah and ask Allah to forgive you. It may be because of your actions of your heart, it makes you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we and each and every one of us must concentrate upon is the heart. The qalb. Inna fil jasadi mudgha. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ That piece of flesh, if it is sound, the whole body is sound. If it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. And many people don't give concern to the actions of the heart and how great those actions. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq رضي الله عنه As some of the scholars mention, that he died, but he wasn't in the battlefield. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu still is considered to be the best of the Sahaba. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu didn't memorize the Quran totally from cover to cover like some of the other companions. But still he was considered to be the best of the Sahaba. You ask yourself why? Why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq considered to be the best of the Sahaba? There are other Sahaba that had more Quran, hifz. There are other Sahaba that were in battles after battles after battles. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Allah raised as the best of the companions. And the Prophet ﷺ loved as the best of the Sahaba. Because Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had actions of the heart that not you and me can see. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had actions of the heart that were far greater than anyone else after the Messenger ﷺ from this ummah. Actions of the heart and the aqidah, that firm, certain belief in the heart that raised him many levels. And he had actions of the limbs that you and me don't even know about. That you and me don't even know about. The best of the Sahaba, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, as-Siddiq. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah has mentioned two incidents that to show you the greatness of this companion. Number one, when the kuffar of Quraysh, the disbelievers of Quraysh, they came and they said, O Messenger of Allah, and they mocked at him. And they said to him, and they said to the other companions, your messenger says that he has gone on a night journey to try and cause doubt. But Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, I'll show you, he was the firmest. When they came to him, he said, if the messenger said this, then I believe it. Yaqeen. Yaqeen is from the actions of the heart. Second incident, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentions, at the death of the Prophet, when Umar al-Khattab refused to hear that anyone will say that the Prophet passed away, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, whoever worships Muhammad has died. But whoever worships Allah, he lives and doesn't die. Yaqeen. Firmness in his belief. Firmness in his certainty. Firmness in his methodology. Firmness in his belief. Radiallahu anhu. Radiallahu anhu. And sufficient for us is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When Allah mentioned, when they were in the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger said, don't be afraid, inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. If Allah is with you, who can harm you? If Allah is with you, who can lead you astray? Allah is with you. And he said, ma'ana, with the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So prepare for that battle. The battle between you and shaitan. قَالَ إِبْلِيسَ هَذِهِ الْمَقَالَةِ ظَنًّا مِنْهُ لِأَنَّهُ عَرَفَ مَا جُبِلَ عَلَيْهِ الْآدَمِي. Iblis, he said what he said. He said it thinking based upon what he knew. How Adam was created. That it is likely that I'm able to lead many of them astray. لَقَدْ صَدَّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسُ ظَنَّهُ. And Allah affirmed that actually the reality is that Iblis's conjecture or his thinking, or if you like, not use the word thinking, but he's done, let's just stick to the Arabic, he's done what he considered to be, is that Adam alayhi salam and his progeny will go astray, except those obviously who hold on to the truth and to the guidance. So he said, I will follow them and lead all of them astray. فَأَتْبَعُوهُ إِلَّا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So they followed him except a party from the believers. فَمَكَّنَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ. So Allah gave him that ability that Iblis asked for, and that is to follow Adam and his progeny. اِذْهَبْ, Allah says, فَمَنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ جَزَاءُكُمْ. Whoever follows you amongst them, then Jahannam will be their abode, will be their recompense. جَزَاءً مَوْفُورًا. واستفزز من استطعت منهم بصوتك, and lead all of them astray whom you are able with your voice, with your seductive voice. And that brings us to one of the ways that shaitan leads the people astray is music. Music and singing. With your seductive voice, lead them astray. And you can see it, how music has become widespread, taking people away from the dhikr of Allah, taking people away from the Qur'an. You can't have Qur'an and music together. One is from Allah, the Qur'an, and the other is from shaitan. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu used to put their fingers in their ears when they would her music, so that the music does not enter their hearts. Because as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, what you hear and what you see is a vessel. It's like a vessel to your heart. So if you see good things, alhamdulillah, you're protecting your heart. If you see bad things, it's coming down to your heart. If you listen to music, it's going to come down to your heart. And woe to be to those who say that music is haram unless it makes your body move. If it makes your body move, then he said music is haram if it makes your body move. What is this? Music is haram if it makes you. Which music do you listen to then? Which thing? What is this? And there are those also say, oh, classical music is allowed. Or music is haram except for classical music. The Prophet ﷺ forbade hadith in Bukhari. 5 things that will be made, that people will try to make halal. 5 things that are initially haram. And it's authentic. And the scholars of hadith have accepted its authenticity. And one of them is ma'azif, musical instruments, that the people make halal when in reality it is haram. So Iblis will follow you and me with music to try to, with his seductive voice, to try to lead you astray. And also in Surah Al-Najm, the last verse of Surah Al-Najm, Allah mentions about those mushrikun who used to laugh and joke and play music when the Quran was being recited. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَعْبُدُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ سَامِدُونَ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, by Allah it means music. By Allah it means music. By Allah it means music. This, and in a tafsir, this was what they used to do when the Quran was being recited, in order not to listen to the Quran. وَأَجْلِبْ عَلَيْهِمْ بِخَيْلِكَ وَرَجْلِكَ وَشَارِكْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. So he will follow us, and our children, and our wealth, that it make such that we go astray. إِنْ قَدِرْتَ فَجْعَلُهُمْ مُنْحَرِفِينَ. Shaykh Sa'd al-Rahman said, if you are able, Allah is telling him, if you are able, then make them from the deviated ones. In their tarbiyah of their children, in their upbringing of their children, to a tarbiyah which is darra, an education which harms. وَفِي صَرْفِ أَمْوَالِهِمَ الْمَصَارِفَ الدَّارَّةِ. And also to make them deal with that which is haram in terms of their wealth. So they buy, they sell, they earn all that which is considered to harm them. شَارِكْ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِذَا تَنَوَّلَ طَعَامًا. Even in their food, eat with them when they eat, drink with them when they drink, when they are married and they have relations, then partake in that which they partake in, because they didn't say Bismillah, because they didn't mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. وَعِدْهُمْ أي مُرْهُمْ. And command them. What is shaitan going to command you and me? To deny the resurrection, to deny this blessed aqeedah, and to deny doing good deeds. وَخَوِّفْهُمْ. And make them fear. Fear what? Fear poverty. Fear others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحَرِّفْهُمْ. وَخَوِّفْهُمْ. Make them fear. When they're about to give charity, say to them, you're going to be poor. When they're about to commit, when they've committed already the evil deeds, whether it is relations outside marriage, for example, or being miserly, then only afterwards, after they've committed, then they will feel, if they are believers, they will feel regret. But you've already done the damage. وَهَذَا مِنَ اللَّهِ لِحِكَمٍ عَظِيمَةٍ وَأَسْرَارٍ. So this allowance from Allah for Iblis to follow Ibn Adam and those who he misguide, this is based upon Allah's wisdom. وَإِنَّكَ أَيُّهَا الْعَدُوُ الْمُبِينَ لَا تَبْقَى مِنْ مَقْدُورِكَ فِي إِغْوَائِهِمْ شَيْئًا فَالْخَبِيثُ مِنْهُمْ يَظْهَرْ خُبْثَهُ. So you are an enemy, clear enemy, and you will, based upon your ability, you will guide those, you will misguide those who follow you. Wallahu la ya'ba' bihi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not concern himself with the individual who turns away. Who turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he follows shaitan. And Allah mentions the same word, ya'ba', in Surah Furqan, the last verse. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Allah won't concern himself with you if it wasn't for your worship. Because dua here means worship. So if we don't turn to the worship of Allah, if we don't worship Allah sincerely, then Allah won't concern himself with you. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Then he mentions, وَأَمَّا خَوَاسِ الدُّرِّيَّ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَأَتْبَاعِهِمْ مِنَ الصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالْأَصْفِيَاءِ وَطَبَقَاتِ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لِهَذَا الْعَدُوَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا أَوْ تَسَلُّطًا. As for those from the prophets and messengers, and those that follow them upon righteousness, from the truthful ones, the pure ones, the ones who are the awliya of Allah and the believers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow this enemy, the shaytan, to have power over them, authority over them. بَلْ أَقَامَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُورًا مَنِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Quranic chapters to read, to protect ourselves. آيات, آيات الكرسي, protecting ourselves from shaytan. وَهُوَ حِمَايَتُهُ. And that is his protection. وَكِفَايَتُهُ. And it's sufficient for him to have these surahs. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And reading the Quran and protection of Ayatul Kursi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed, bisilah, as a weapon against shaitan and this enemy. And likewise, it is the adhkar, morning and evening, supplications that one has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for the abd, for the servant, to have power against shaitan, as if he is not, and he would not be able to overcome him. The power of iman, billah, and the power of their tawakkul, of their reliance upon Allah, they know that this whisper is from shaitan. And they're quick to remember Allah. إِن مَسَتْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. So when that ta'ifa from the shaitan, the tribe or group from the shaitan, when they start to whisper, and they start to lead him astray, تَذَكَّرُوا. Straight away. Not heedless. Rather, تَذَكَّرُوا. They remember that this is from shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They will not have authority over the believers and they rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly. Tawakkul, from the actions of the heart. لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ يَغْدُو خِمَاسًا وَيَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. If you were truly to rely upon Allah, true reliance, then you will be like the bird that goes out early in the morning. Empty stomach comes back full. Tawakkul. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. And rely upon the one who is the all-living, who doesn't die. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Rely upon Allah. Allah loves those who rely upon Him. Having that as your weapon against shaitan. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ فَأَعَانَهُمْ عَلَى مُقَاوَمَةِ هَذَا الْعَدُوِ الْمُبِينِ بِأُمُورٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. With many things Allah has helped us against this shaitan. Who has prepared himself from the day you're born till the day you die to lead you astray, that you be from the hellfire, the fields of hellfire. Allah sent us books, the Quran being the last of them and the best of them, to return to for guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent messengers and the best of them and the last of them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah sent thereafter companions carrying this deen, the trustworthy ones of every generation, and thereafter those who follow them upon righteousness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed for us that which will lead you astray, and He showed for us the haram, and He clarified to us the halal. He showed to us what is iman, and He clarified to us what is kufr. He showed to us what is tawheed, and He clarified to us what is shirk. And He showed to us what is a sunnah. And He clarified to us what is bid'ah. Everything is clear. وَفَصَّلْنَا تَفْصِيلًا. And we have clarified it in detail. Nothing is left out. Nothing is left out in how to protect yourself from shaitan. وَكَمَا بَيَّنَهَا لَهُمْ وَوَضَّحَهَا فقد أرشدهم إلى الطريق إلى الطريق التي ينجون بها من شره وفتنته، وأعانهم على ذلك إعانة قدرية أو قدرية خارجة عن قدرتهم. And he helped them. Allah helped them with ability over and above their own ability. Yes. Man is weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. If you're left alone to yourself, if you are left alone to yourself, you'll easily go astray. You'll easily go astray without the help of Allah. So Allah has given them ability above their own ability to help them. From that is isti'ana. Allah helping them. From that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being with them. The ma'iyya, al-khassa. To be with them and help them and aid them and protect them. From that is Allah's lutf. To deal with His enemies. And to deal with those who try to oppress you and harm you. And to help the weak and the needy and those who are destitute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us ability. That's fadl from Allah. How great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And how kind Allah is. That He has given us ability over and above our ability to protect ourselves from shaitan. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. For He is qadirun ala kulli shay. Given us that ability as aid. لِأَنَّهُمْ لَمَّا بَدُلُوا الْمَجْهُودِ. Because when they themselves strove, وَاسْتَعَانُوا بِالْمَعْبُودِ, and sought help from the one who's worshipped, Allah, سَهَلَ لَهُمْ كُلَّ الطَّرِيقِ. Allah made easy for them all paths, إِلَى الْمَقْصُودِ, to that which they seek. And that is to worship Allah and to protect themselves. Beautiful, beautiful statement. Huh? Let's read it again, he said, لِأَنَّهُمْ لَمَّا بَدَلُوا الْمَجْهُودِ وَاسْتَعَانُوا بِالْمَعْبُودِ سَهَلَ لَهُمْ كُلَّ الطَّرِيقِ إِلَى الْمَقْصُودِ. Allahu Akbar. All paths. And the hadith, سَهَلَ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُ يَسِيرٌ لِمَنْ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. It is easy for those who Allah has made it easy for. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever treads the path of knowledge, Allah makes the path of paradise easy for them. You see? Ease. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. One hardship, two ease. Because he said al-usr. But when he said the yusr, he didn't bring the alif lam. There's two ease there. And one hardship. That means each hardship Allah has aided you with two ease. Thumma inna Allah ta'ala atamma ni'matahu ala Adam. Fakhalaqa minhu zawjatah. And then Allah completed that blessing upon Adam and created Adam's wife, Hawa, to help him, to aid him. And this is for the sisters as well, and the brothers, that you get married in order to get closer to Allah. You get married in order to fulfill that guidance, to protect yourselves away from deviation, to protect yourselves away from falling to the hellfire. Because a woman can be a man's Jannah or Nar. If she's a righteous man, a righteous woman, فَدْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ, then she will be aiding you to get to Jannah. And if she's a dunya woman, reminding you of the dunya and not the akhirah, then this is going against that objective that is sought. And that is the maqsad of a zawaj. Being married to that which, to those whom aid you. And likewise for the women, to choose the spouse who will aid them to get to Jannah. Because the battle is there. The battle is there. And the enemy is there. When you are asleep, running through your veins, trying to misguide you. When you are mentioning, you try it. You pray two rak'ahs. You start opening the Qur'an. You're about to read, ala tul, shaitan comes. Don't you remember so and so? Oh, you've got to go and clean the car. Oh, you've got to go and take. Oh, you've got to. Straight away. And sometimes even doing a good deed. You're just about to do a good deed. Straight away he's there. Or what about, oh, mashallah, so and so liked your deed that you did. Oh, so and so did it, making you feel happy, proud. Making you feel that, yeah, I myself can do this on my own. Making you feel self-sufficient. SubhanAllah. That's why the Messenger said, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. Don't leave me to myself, a blink of an eye. A blink of an eye, don't leave me to myself. Rather to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations. And that's not easy, that's why it's a battle. Whoever says he's past the battle, then in fact, he's following shaitan. وَقَالَ لَهُ لِزَوْجَتِهِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ عَدُوٌ لَكُمْ. And he said to him and his wife, shaitan is is an enemy for you, an enemy to you. وَلَا تَقْرَبَ هَذِي شَرًا. Don't eat from this tree. فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And otherwise you will be from the oppressors. But shaitan came to them. And he said to Adam, that shall I tell you of a tree, that if you eat from it, you will be in paradise forever, and you will have kingdom that you have not seen before. And Adam, alayhi salatu salam, he ate from the tree. And then thereafter, they became naked. And Allah subhanahu, then they realized the error that they have committed. Unlike Iblis, Adam alayhi salatu salam was remorseful. Adam alayhi salatu salam knew that he had made a mistake. Adam alayhi salatu salam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And Allah said to them, أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Didn't I tell you don't eat from the tree? And I forbade you from that? And didn't I tell you that shaitan is a clear enemy to you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in their heart guidance to turn to Tawbah, to repent. And he said, وَتَلَقَى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And he took from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala those words of repenting to him. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا. And if you do not forgive us. وَتَرْحَمْنَا. And have mercy over us. لَنَكُنَنَّا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Surely indeed we'll be from the losers. So Allah accepted their tawbah. Accepted their tawbah and removed their sin. But He removed them also from paradise. And for them to be an appointed time in this earth and their progeny, for them to battle against Iblis and his progeny. And that test is until Yawmuddin. Ya Bani Adam, la yaftinannakum ash-shaytan. Oh Bani Adam, don't let shaytan overcome you with his trials. Kama akharaja abawaykum, just as he has taken your parents out of paradise, min al-jannah. Yanzi'u anhuma libasahuma. لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا. Such that he makes them or leads them to uncover their clothing. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He sees you and his progeny sees you from that which you do not see them. We're not able to see shaitan, but they see us. وَأَبْدَلَهُمَ اللَّهُ. But Allah gave us weapons against them to protect ourselves from them. وَأَبْدَلَهُمَ اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ الْلِبَاسِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a better libas. Just as Iblis called them away to naked, called them towards nakedness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that which is better. And that is libas of taqwa. Dalika khair. The libas of piety. And that is best for them. ثُمَّ بَثَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ آدَمْ وَزَوْجِهِ رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَنَشَرَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَخْلَفَهُمْ فِيهَا لِيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed thereafter, after Adam alayhi salam, those who treaded this path, this earth, such that you see what path that they choose. Shaykh Sa'd rahimahullah, after mentioning this, he says, from the benefits of this story, number one, of course this story is a great story. And Allah mentioned it in so many parts of the Quran, not just in Baqarah, but so many parts. And from the greatest of stories, whom many messengers have mentioned about, it wasn't just the messengers as I mentioned, but other messengers have mentioned about this story. So from the greatest benefit is that we believe in this great story, that it is true. Where else did the people come from? And then he refutes the atheists and those who say that we came from monkeys. And this is futile. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in their theory, which they call Darwin theory, it is deficient and it is truncated in many areas. How many times have we been talking about the missing link? We're trying to get that missing link. And one argument can smash all of their arguments. If we're supposed to have come from a monkey, and the monkey is supposed to come from a tadpole or a fish, that stage, if you like, the stages of development and tatweer. If that's the case, how comes we've stopped in our stages? Wouldn't you like to fly? Many people like to fly. So how comes now we have to have planes? If there is a stage, if Darwin theory was correct, then why didn't we continue to develop in terms of our features? We still have two legs and two arms. We still have two eyes and two ears. Where we don't have wings. We don't have wings. We have easy jet, but we don't have wings. So if there was something called Darwin theory, how comes it stopped? And there are many arguments against them, even using their own intellect and philosophical arguments. Then it shows us that they actually do not have a leg to stand on, because in reality, the missing links are not there. Where are those missing links? Adaptation is one thing. Adaptation is one thing. How a fish may adapt to its environment and so on and so forth. That's one thing. But a fish to a monkey? How are you going to get a fish to a monkey? Subhanallah. A monkey, and look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so vast. Creation in the sea, the oceans, creation in the sky, creation in... What really has adapted? What has adapted to man? Is it the fish or the bird? Or the tadpole? They say the monkey. Where did the monkey come from? That came from the tadpole or the fish or the shark. What did it come from? Whichever angle you look at, there's flaws after flaws after flaws, using their own arguments. And Shaykh Sa'd rahimahullah here, he says, this group of atheists who deny the coming of Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa, then in reality, they're living a life of doubt. And they are not sure about their own belief that they have. But the believers who believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, فَلَمَّا جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, whereby they believe the messengers that have come with clarifications. فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ. The atheists, they're happy what they have of knowledge. They think they have reached so much knowledge. They have reached a level of intellect. مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And what they used to mock at, in the end, backfired on them. And that's the reality. If they want to talk about intellect, they want to talk about technology, look at the story of Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, and how the angel, the mighty one amongst them, was able to bring her arsh, her throne, before even she blinked. We're not talking about email going from one country to another country. We're talking about a whole throne going from one place to another place before she even blinked. So, subhanAllah, if you want to talk about knowledge, you want to talk about technology, you want to talk about, subhanAllah, then in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us greater kingdoms. People who had far greater, or even from his kingdom, whether it's the jinn or angels who are mighty. Allah described the angels as being mighty and stern. The great eight angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about carrying the arsh, and how great they are in size. So all of that is mentioned. What can, in reality, man, what has he reached? What level has really man reached? He still has to go to the toilet, as Shaykh Rabbi Hafidhullah said. Every day he still has to go to the toilet and remove that impurity from himself. Every day man should reflect upon himself, where he is created from. Just a sperm. That's all you are. You and me, just a sperm. Nutfa. From something which develops into that which clings. Alaqa. And then becomes mudgha.
piece of flesh. Look at the creation of Allah, the stages of the baby in the womb of a mother and how those stages are fashioned. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. When they're asked to even create a robot, it's still very deficient. How many of their artificial intelligence equipment that they have created go wrong? How many planes that are supposed to be modern planes have fallen based upon a computer error? So, in reality, the knowledge of man is very limited. Can they see beyond these walls? They can't see beyond walls. They can't see beyond time. And look at those who went against, and Allah knows best, but those who mock Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make films, like this Superman, who made a film where he's supposed to have made the earth turn the other way. What happened to Superman? He fell off a horse, broke every bone in his body. And Allah knows best if the reason is because of this film that was watched by millions of people, that he's supposed to be Superman. Superman. Breaking every bone in his body just by falling. SubhanAllah. What level have you reached, oh man? And the other incident is the other film that they made in the 80s or 90s. Back to the Future. The man is supposed to have gone against time. Past. Allah is the controller of time. The Prophet said, Hadith Qudsi, that Allah said, Allah is time. So do not abuse time. Do not abuse time. And this, you're supposed to go back and go to the forward and go going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His authority and His power. What happened to him? He can't even put a sentence together now because of Parkinson's disease. Allah knows best if this is a reason for these individuals to have been punished or to have received their end in this matter if they don't turn back to Allah. Allah knows. And we do not know the wisdom behind what He creates and what He wills. From the benefits of this story, number one is the refutation of the atheists. Allah clearly refutes them, and the people who say that we came from monkeys and so on, and that refutation. From it, from the benefit, number two, shows us the virtues of knowledge. Because Allah subhanahu taught Adam alayhi salatu salam knowledge that which the angels didn't know. So this encourages us to learn and gain more knowledge. Number three, from the benefits of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that we should not speak except with knowledge. So the angels, they didn't have knowledge, and Allah told them afterwards, taught them thereafter. But they asked actually out of trying to find out the wisdom. But this, as Shaykh Sadr Allah says, that we do not speak except with knowledge. Number four, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in this story the dangers of al-hasad, of jealousy and kibr. And the scholars mentioned that hasad, actually the person who has jealousy over another person, this shows you the weakness of his iman, the weakness of his belief in al-qadr. Why should you be jealous for someone who's got more wealth than you? Allah is the reason for him to have more wealth than you. So why should you be jealous over that? Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, this shows you the weakness of his iman in al-qadr, if he's jealous. And the serious, that's one. Number four, the seriousness of al-hasad. And the Prophet said to us, لا تحاسدوا, do not have jealousy for each other. Number five, al-kibr, pride and arrogance. This is an evil trait. Just as Iblis had pride and arrogance, we should keep away from this evil trait. Because it will lead you to a greater sin thereafter, in turning away from fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six, that if a person falls into sin, they should rush
to recognize that sin first and foremost. And that comes from the actions of the heart. You recognize that sin. And then you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in forgiveness. So remorse should be there. Regret should be there. And thereafter, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Just as Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he rushed to learn those words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him in order to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed that in his heart for him to have tawfiq to repent to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows us also the way of the believers. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. They know that they should not despair from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. For indeed Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. So number six was to rush to turn to forgiveness. And continuously asking Allah to forgive you, which is al-inaba as-sadiqa, continuous, sincere repentance. That's number six. Number seven, this story teaches us that shaitan, Iblis, has prepared himself to lead us astray. So therefore also we must prepare ourselves to protect ourselves from him. So from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you sleep, he's prepared. And he wants to lead us astray. First in your aqidah, in your belief, and your methodology. Lead you astray in that which will lead you in the hellfire forever. First and foremost, shirk. And then bid'ah. And then the rest of the disobedience. So the story, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'id Rahman says, teaches us, number seven, to prepare ourselves, just as Iblis has prepared himself to lead us astray. Number eight, to take the weapons that Allah has given us. The weapons of protection, which is Ayatul Kursi, the last three quls, Surah Al-Baqarah in the house. Where shaitan does not stay in a house, he flees a house that Baqarah is recited. Saying Bismillah as you enter your house. Saying Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah when you leave the house. Saying the adhkar in the morning, saying the adhkar in the evening. Protect yourself morning and evening. Saying the quls morning and evening. The Ayatul Kursi, which is a great weapon against shaitan. So that is number eight. Use the weapons Allah has given you. For indeed, over the believers, shaitan has no sultan. Shaitan has no sultan over the believers. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. He has no authority over the believers and those who rely upon him wholeheartedly. Number nine, this story teaches us the methodology, the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in affirming all of Allah's beautiful names and attributes. And from that is affirming the two hands of Ar-Rahman, two right hands of Ar-Rahman, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Iblis, why do you not make sujood, prostrate to the one I have created in my own hands? So it's affirmation of the attributes of Allah in their perfect sense. In their perfect sense. And this brings us to a long discussion on this, and we can discuss that later on another time. And number 10. And number 10. Without the help of Allah, we'll never be able to overcome shaitan. That we must seek Allah's help, Allah's protection, Allah's guidance. We must supplicate to Allah to help us through this difficult time of preparing ourselves against shaitan. The help of Allah. And that's not just the adhkar. The adhkar is one thing, morning and evening. Help of Allah is raising your hands and asking Allah to help you through a difficult situation. And to be pleased with whatever befalls you in the dunya, but you be patient through that test. And to be pleased, that's a higher level, a level of ihsan, to be pleased with that level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting you and aiding you and guiding you to that which pleases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from that is to say, Radaytu billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in afflictions. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was in prison.
But he was pleased and said, Alhamdulillah, here I am in prison and here I am reading Quran and benefiting and writing that which benefits the Ummah. And Imam Ahmad rahimullah said, here I am in prison and I ask Allah subhanahu to memorize the Quran, but I didn't say bil'afiyah, upon security. And here I am memorizing the Quran in prison. If I said in security, then maybe I would not be in prison memorizing the Quran. So when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything good, ask Him with security, bil'afiyah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم.